Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we have a special treat for you. My late wife, Susie, will bring a message that she delivered on 3/10/1974. That's March 10th, 1974, and it's just as apropos today as it was on the day that she preached it. And right now we have letters that we're going to read, as many as we can, and reports from the different activities that the church is partaking in, and the people in the world, throughout the world. We're going to read some of these reports from them out there to you. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Now, Susie has already been anointed. This message is wonderful, and it's very timely today. And so, Father, we ask that you open the hearts and souls of the people in Radio Land, that they will receive this message. Lord, I believe you anointed Susie stronger than any other preacher on the face of this earth in this day and age. And so I just pray that the people in Radio Land will receive it, that their souls might be saved, and that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, H.B. Barnum is our music director in the Los Angeles Church, 1313 Sierra Highway in Canyon Country, California, which is right in Los Angeles County. And he has a very phenomenal choir. And he has an album that's entitled Life. He recorded it several years ago, and there's a beautiful song on there, a worship song called, I'm sure all of you have heard it one time or another, it's called Jesus Loves Me. Yes, I know, 'cause the Bible tells me so. And I want you to all praise and thank the Lord for salvation and causing those of us that are born again in the Spirit to be in the commonwealth of the Lord. Everything belongs to us.
Jesus loves me. This I know.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Raise your hands up and just worship the Lord. Say, praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Your word is spirit and life.
But He is strong.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Jesus loves me. Yes.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
My Jesus, He loves me.
And God loved the world so much that He said His only begotten Son. Yes. Came into this world that you might
love
have everlasting life if you believe. down through the years, H.B. Barnum has done recordings, arrangements for some of the biggest stars in the world, including Aretha Franklin. He still goes out on tour with her to direct the orchestra for her, and Gladys Knight and Frank Sinatra. He did a lot of concerts with him, and you name it. He's done just about everybody. And I'm so proud to have him as our music director at the church in Los Angeles. He said he's going to drop in on us out here too and surprise us. All right, and here's my late wife, Susan, with a message of these last days.
You may be seated. Now, any of you people that haven't been in the Holy Roller Church before, you've been there now. How'd you like it? You can tell all your friends now, yeah, I went to a Holy Roller Church. And if they ask you who the pastors are, say Tony and Susan Alamo. Because I want to get all the credit that I have coming to me.
Me too.
Reading from the book of Acts. We're going to read a lot of Bible today. Acts 4, 23. We'll start at 23. Let's see what God has to say. Amen? And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, that was a bunch of holy rollers way back there, wasn't it? You imagine all those people, it says they lifted up their voice in one accord, all of them, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Praise the Lord. Why, they had the same message then we've got today, didn't they? Hasn't changed a bit. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I see, times haven't changed any, and people haven't changed any. They were all gathered together there to kill Christ when he was first born, and to do away with them. And they haven't changed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, the people of that time, they didn't say, Lord, make us quiet. Lord, don't let us stand out as a spectacle to these politicians and to the ungodly and to all these people. They said, Lord, give us the power, give us the boldness to stand before the world and to declare the power of the living God. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with a boldness. What does the Holy Ghost mean? It means when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you become a holy roller. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things come. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. We'll go down to 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being private to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived these things in thine heart? And why hast thou not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Today, in so many ways, we're living these same days all over again. At this period of time, there had been a great uprising against the Christian. There had been a great uprising against the people of God that had been sent by God to establish the word of the Lord in the land again. Jesus had been crucified, and great persecution had come upon the disciples and the apostles. And the church was scattered, and the Spirit of the Lord was not moving in the same power and in the same might that it had been moving in during the time of the life of Jesus Christ. And God, as He does at every period of time when there is a lack, when there is a low, when there is great sin, when the powers of the enemy of evil and darkness are so rampant upon the face of the earth, just like when we first went out into the streets among the young people, it was an amazing thing to see people who professed to be Pentecostal. And I had remembered Pentecost from many years ago when it was one of the most persecuted of all the denominations upon the face of this earth. They were spat upon. They were held in the greatest contempt and with the greatest scorn that any people could possibly be looked upon with. I remember knowing, reading, and hearing about some of the great Pentecostal evangelists, the great founders of the movement, the tortures and the torments that they were put through, the lying accusations, see their lives just ripped and tortured and torn to pieces until they would actually cry out unto God to take them on home. Lord, I just can't take any more of it. And then I saw the offshoots of Pentecost as they came and made some feeble attempt at operating the same churches that these old war horses had founded. But I saw them take a position into the social church structure. As God began to bless them materialistically and their clothing left the J.C. Penney stage and began to move into the May Company arena, the attitude of the Christian began to take a change. And the same churches that were established with blood and sweat and tears moved right on into the social structure and became another organized religion. And it lost all the effectiveness it had ever had for God. And it turned and became the greatest persecutor of the last outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. God began to reach into the denominational churches. And the Spirit of the living God began to deal with people. As they sat in the quietness, the silence, and the deadness of many of the denominational orders, there was a tugging and a pulling at their heartstrings. And God was dealing with them. And every time they went in and attempted to take their place in the service, the Lord began to point out to them all over the place the hypocrisy. That they were involved in nothing but social organizations. And that there was power in God. That there was a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost. That these were the end times. And that God expected more out of His people than for them to warm a church bench every Sunday morning. And people began to turn nearer to the voice of the living God. And strange things began to happen. In the denominational churches, people were sitting in their churches, in their seats. And all of a sudden they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what happened? They were immediately tossed out of the churches. Branded as heretics. And some of these same churches were founded by the old war horses that stood the greatest persecution of any of the people of our time. John Wesley was the most despised, the most hated of any man that could possibly ever be imagined. Despised by the cultivated, cultured, social, denominational structure. He came a defiant man. Defiant in the boldness of the living God. He didn't walk in among the people and straighten his tie and say, "Dearly beloved, we have been gathered together today." But he came in among them with a message from the throne of the living God, preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. And for people to find a place to get on their knees before a living God. It was an outcast. And yet you see some of the same churches today that man founded. He was the originator. Nothing. Nothing left in any way that would even resemble the man who pioneered that great denominational order. Martin Luther came forth out of Catholicism preaching you're saved by faith. Not by works. I have no works. Well, he said, I'm a man of sin, I'm a sinner. And there are no works that I could ever accomplish on this side of eternity that could prepare me to stand face to face with a holy God. None. He said, you must be born again. Only the Christ within me that worketh any good thing. But we are all born of sin and shaped in iniquity. And only the Christ within us. By faith are we saved, not by any good works. The good works come through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and through the power of the living God. But as our works to lay up before a holy God, God says that they are nothing but rubbish in His eyes. And here again was a man that was tortured, tormented, threatened to be put to death, and established a great and mighty move of God. Find me any of the old Martin Luther sermons that was a syrupy message. Show me one! And I've been reading a lot of them for a lot of years. At this period of time, we were like we were at the time we went out into the streets. We looked at the social structure of today, and here was our young people in the streets singing songs, God is dead. Can you believe that? In a nation that has called itself Christian America. A nation that has gathered together millions and millions and billions of dollars, purportedly to be sent to the foreign mission field to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. I used to sit in the churches and I'd watch the slides when they'd come back. This is our new church that we built in Africa. We have 5 people standing around it. Well, I said, we got a church, but we got no people. What we needed in Africa, Asia, China, and all over the world, we didn't need a church. Build a shed and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church will come. Get the people. The people are the church. The people are the body of Jesus Christ. I thought about the southern states. A place that we Christians for years, we referred to it as the Bible Belt. But I saw the things that happened there. And I marked them in my heart and in my soul. And I said, these things are wrong in the eyes of the living God. They're wrong. And God is going to punish the South as a people have never been brought to their knees in their lives. The wrath of God is going to pour out upon them. How could a people say we love the Lord God? How could they say we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and filled with His Spirit and tell another person of a different color of skin that they have to worship in another church that they can't all worship a living God together? Disgraceful. Disgraceful. My Bible says that we become one in Christ Jesus. Oh, how Jesus stressed that point. We become one in Jesus Christ. Why, He said there isn't even any male or female. But in the Spirit of the living God that ye become one in Jesus Christ. And yet, we watched all these things happen. And nobody had the nerve to get up and take a stand against it. Everybody said, be careful, sister, what you say. Be careful what you say. You know how people are. You know how easily they're offended. I say, offend them to kingdom come. Preach the truth and uphold it to the gates of eternity. Fear God and keep His commandments. Forget about what the world thinks. Because this whole earth is going to burn as the stubble of the field. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So we went out into the streets and we took the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God began to raise up a people as He hadn't raised up a people since the beginning of time. He had dealt with the middle-aged. He had dealt with the elderly. But this was the day of the Lord. And Jesus said, I'm not going to put new wine in old bottles. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to raise up a bunch of young people. And I'm going to fill them with my Spirit. And I'm going to send the voice of the Lord to the four corners of the earth. What happened? Parents begin to rise up. How dare God? How dare Him? You know, parents, I want to tell you something. If the Lord God would reach down and touch one of my children and call them and anoint them to this great last hour ministry, I would be on my knees praising God from the depths of my heart and my soul. I'd say, what good thing have I ever done? What have I ever done that the Lord God has blessed me so greatly? That He has called for my child. I'm blessed of God. He has called upon me to send my son or my daughter out to establish for God. We don't have too much farther to go. If you imagine that you have, then you're living in some kind of a dream world. It's an impossibility. The earth is completely contaminated. The plan of the living God in the universe has been completely upset by science. Science has become our destruction. The natural fertilizers that the Lord God intended that the earth be replenished with, science said, we'll use a chemical fertilizer. The natural fertilizer, when it's poured back into the earth as the Lord God intended it to be, the little bugs and worms that come and work around the roots of the plant, and they let the oxygen into the plants that creates the enzyme that feeds the human body. When you pour in the chemicals, you kill the bugs, you kill the worms. The fruit and vegetables may grow up to be big and pretty, but there's nothing in them. Cancer. Young people dying one after the other. It isn't something today that's reserved for the middle-aged or the elderly. We never heard of such a thing as cancer until the turn of the 18th century, when they began to process foods, take the wheat germ out of the flour, granulated sugars, honey, natural sugars were done away with, the human bodies began to go to pieces. Everything in the world, brain disorders, sin, all these things that you and I are living, only the healthy, only the strong will survive what's ahead for us. Are we in the tribulation period? Why, of course we are. Of course we're going right now into the tribulation period. Of course we are. We're fighting the greatest battle that we have ever fought or will ever fight. We're fighting a war of Armageddon. The last fight between God and Satan for the soul of man. It's not tomorrow, it's today. There has never been a time since the beginning of time that the challenge upon the people of God have been as great as it has been today. Never has it ever. When the disciples and the apostles said to the people of that time, the voice of the Lord is dead in the land. The voice of the Lord is dead in the land. The Spirit of God is not moving any longer. And God is dealing with our hearts and with our souls to establish again for the living God. Let's gather our finances all together. Let's build. Let's evangelize. Let's move out for God. Let's establish for the Lord. I'm not here behind this pulpit today because of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm here because of the old war horses. I'm here because of the dedicated ones of that time that said, Lord, I'll give my all. I'll give my all That's why you are here and I am here. I said to the kids, I wish the weak ones would just fall away, cause all the confusion they can cause, tell everything they want to tell, get it over with, and let the rest of us go on for God. Because we don't need to be feeding them in the meantime. Let them do whatever they want to do and get it over with, so that the rest of us can move on into a place with God that we have never moved before in our lives. You know, I have declared open war upon every devil in hell. If he thinks that he had trouble out of us before, we've got a few tricks in the bag for him this time. He doesn't know what he's in for out of us this time. We're taking a second breath. We're getting... There is nothing going to stop us because we're standing upon that solid rock, Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, like Tony says a lot of times, I'll read the Bible to you, what would you like to hear? Tony, read, Jesus said. There's something so comforting about Jesus said. Because whatever he said, that's the way it's going to be. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I build my church. And what else did he say, congregation? You have all the answers. Praise the Lord, you have all the answers. And in closing this afternoon, as I said to you before, I'm not concerned about why you came here. I'm concerned about how you leave here. I don't care who you are, what you are, if you came here because you were hungry. If you came as a skeptic. If you came in and you thought, listen to the music. I don't know whether it's of God or not. Let me tell you that it is. Let me tell you that it is. The rock artist stole the old spiritual songs from the black people in the South. So we're taking it back and using it where it should have been used in the first place. That's where it started from. It is of God. You believe that. It is of God. And in closing, we're going to make an old-fashioned altar call here, just like they did down in the old brush arbors, down in the South, where they didn't even have a church. And many of those people down there didn't have one, believe me. I was down there. I went down there in evangelistic meetings, and I'll tell you, it was unbelievable. But I'm going to ask you, whoever you are, wherever you are, this is the greatest decision you're ever going to make in your life today. Whatever your reason was for coming here, you know it's the truth. You can nitpick at any stupid thing you want to pick at, from somebody's hair to the music, the building, anything you want to do, but something in here tells you this is the truth. It's the truth. You know that. I'm not going to ask people in here to every head to bow and every eye to close while you sneak down the aisle like a thief. I don't believe in that kind of salvation. Jesus said if you're ashamed of him here, he's going to be ashamed of you up there. But as we sing this old gospel song, there's room at the cross for you. Wherever you are, whatever you are, whoever you are, get out of your seat and come on down. Humble yourself before a living God. Ask Jesus to come into your heart.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
Oh, Susie, I'll take over from here.
Is the shelter in which we can hide.
Those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're right at the end of time now, and the most important thing for you to do is get yourself right with the Lord. As soon as 144,000 Jews have the seal of their the Father in their foreheads, and that's happening right now, you are going to be seeing the plagues of God coming down as never before. The seventh chapter of the book of Revelation states that there's four angels in that chapter, and there's another one. They're ready to pour out the plagues on the earth, but this other angel is ascending up and telling them, don't hurt the earth and don't hurt the sea until the seal of the Hebrew children, the Jews, are sealed with the Father's seal on their foreheads. And that's happening right now, and it's going to happen so quick. Now, as soon as that happens, you turn over to chapter 8 of Revelation, and there's going to be the plague start. There'll be silence in the kingdom of heaven for a spell. And then here come the plagues, and they're going to come with such rapidity that people won't know what to do. They'll be frantic. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, if the Spirit of God is in you and you are able to hear the Lord's voice, and you will be able to hear the Lord's voice if the Spirit of God is in you, then you'll be able to know to receive the direction from the Lord of where to go when God is wiping out with one plague alone one-third of the people on the face of this earth. That'll be 2 billion people. There's approximately 6 billion people here now. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to bow your heads. If you're in an automobile, of course you can't do that, but you can. The Lord knows what your circumstance is right now. But just stop and think. Keep your eyes on the road, or if you can, pull off over the side of the road. I know if you're on Broadway or in Manhattan during rush hour, you won't be able to do that. But just keep your eyes open. And God will hear you anyway. Just say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away if they call on you. And therefore, Lord, you can say to the Lord, Lord, I am calling on you. And it's your promise. You're not going to turn me away. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, don't pay any attention to who's in the room or who's next to you in an automobile. Just raise your hands up and start thanking and praising the Lord for your salvation. And give all the glory to the Lord. Start reading your Bible and get yourself into a real good Bible-based church. Someone that believes that they're living in the last days. Somebody that believes that Jesus... that God came into the world in a man named Jesus, a young boy, a young baby. And then he grew up, God, the Holy Spirit, and in the body of the human being, Jesus. And Jesus was able to keep all the commandments because he had the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit from heaven. This is the triune God, the fullness of the Godhead body living in him. And so... you are able to not sin anymore because of the power of God in you. God holds the entire, this whole world up by his Spirit. You know, you may have seen some of these pictures of rockets that's gone to the moon. And you see the whole earth is just sitting there in space. And, you know, we're sitting in a world full of violence. And people are filled with fear. And there's famines and all kinds of diseases, pestilence all over the world. And it's even getting worse. I mean, every day you pick up the newspaper or watch the news on television, you see it. And people are taking drugs, alcohol, narcotics. They're committing suicide. But a person that commits suicide, it's really going to be bad for them because when you commit suicide, you're committing murder, and this is, you're murdering the body that the Lord God, in His Son Jesus, who's now one with the Father and the Spirit. The Father is the Spirit. And you're killing the body, the house of God. You are the house of God. And the precious Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead body has entered into you. And so you never want to commit suicide, because that is a sin worthy of spending eternity in the lake of fire. Now the Lord paid. You may have horrible sickness, disease, infirmities. But the Lord, these are curses. But the Lord became a curse for us. And He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. The Bible states that cursed is the man, any man that hangs on a cross. So the Lord became a curse for us. In other words, He took all of our curses. We were supposed to go to die and to go to hell. And He took all the curses like disease, sickness, and infirmities on us. So that's on Him. And if you have faith to believe that, that by His stripes, the beating that He took to cure you, and that He became a curse, that all the curses that were on you because you broke the law before you just were saved, Christ became the curse and took all your curses off of you and on Him. And so you're healed. But by faith you have to receive that. You've just asked the Lord to enter into you, and now you're a son of God or a daughter of God. And all the promises of God belong to you. You're cursed. Anything that you're cursed with is on Him now. And if you have faith, reach out now and receive your healing in the name of Jesus. And receive whatever evil circumstance you're in, that it went on the cross with Jesus, and you're free. If you're broke, you're poor, you're hungry, you're needy, you now have a large family, which is the family of God. Those of us that are born-again Christians will help you. All you need to do is just contact us. You've contacted the Lord. The Lord will open up many doors for you. So have faith, because there isn't anything that we can receive from God but by faith. We're saved by faith. We're healed, believing that the Lord took the cursed thing from off of us, such as cancer, leukemia, sugar diabetes, leukemia, all these things. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Everything is possible. All things are possible. You must believe. Amen?
Amen.
And so you should be thanking and praising the Lord for this. And be thanking and praising the Lord that you're now in the community of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, everyone has everything in common, just like it says in the book of Acts, where everyone had all their needs supplied, because they sold their houses, they sold everything they had and brought it to the feet of the apostles. There's people that we know that need operations, that need all sorts of things, because they haven't yet received enough faith to reach out. We tell them, many people say they need money for operations, and we tell them about Christ having paid the price for their sickness, disease, infirmities, and their needs. So far as operations, they get healed, they go to the doctors, and they're about ready to operate on them, and they say, wait a minute, there's no cancer in you at all. What happened? It was here yesterday and it's gone now. All right? And some people look morbidly at that, and only if you're doing that, it's because you don't have faith. But if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that's the tiniest seed in the world, that's your shield of faith. The shield of faith is your prayer to the Lord, your prayer of faith. Because anything that is not prayed for with faith is not available for you. So you have to only believe, reach out, and receive what the Lord has already provided for you through beatings and through His death on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
You're children of the kingdom, and receive it now in Jesus' name. Okay, Sharon, you've got some testimonies here, right?
Yes. This is from Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, go ahead. Read,
dear
please.
Pastor Lamo, most beloved greetings to you in the name that is above all names of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I really thank God that He has privileged me to write this letter to you for your kind involvement in our nation through your radio program on Radio Africa. I and my family were formerly Muslim, leading people to the Muslim religion. Meanwhile...
Okay, now the Muslim religion is a Vatican-powered religion. The Vatican, and we have books here that we can send to you in the event that you'd like to see how the Vatican, the Catholic cult, the Bible says that Satan's seat is in the city of the Seven Hills, which is Rome. And you'll be able to see in this book from Chick Publications. It was written by a good friend of mine, Alberto Rivera, which we primarily just distribute my own literature, but there is some good literature. And this tells how the Vatican raised the Muhammad religion up to do the Vatican's dirty work. The Vatican never wants anyone to know that they're the ones that are committing all the atrocities on the face of the earth. But the Lord says God calls that church or cult or whatever you want to call it, the great whore of Revelation. And he states that she rides on the back of the beast, the red dragon gives... the beast is the world government and the media on the whole. Now, there's some media that's very, very few. And there's some government agents that are going to be saved. And there's people that are being saved out of the Catholic Church. I would say at least two-thirds of our congregation are former Catholics, and Catholics are being saved one right after the other, just like us Jews. And the reason that the Jewish religion is wrong, because it denies the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the fact that they don't read the Bible. As I said, 144,000 are going to be saved. So the Vatican, the great red dragon, the devil, gives its power to the Vatican. The Vatican gives its power to the Muslim religion because they rose this little guy, he was a boy, Muhammad, and on drugs. And the things that he would say while he was on drugs, they wrote it down like holy writ. And then they made up a lot of rules that the people that are white are of the devil, and that the Jews are of the devil. You'll notice that the Vatican and, we have so much literature on that, the Vatican and the Muslims hate Jews. And it was the Vatican, Nazi Hitler. He was a Catholic, studying for the Catholic priesthood at one time, murdered over 6 million Jews. Now, you say, well, this isn't scriptural. Why are you saying things about government that isn't the Bible? Oh, yes, it is. Okay, and you dastn't hate the Word of God, because the Word of God, by belief in the Word of God, which is Christ, is the only way you're going to be saved. So if you think it's wrong to uncover Satan and where he sits, it says Satan's seat is in Rome. Or it says it this way, in the city of the Seven Hills. And it's the richest church. The colors are scarlet and purple. And they have crucified, they've murdered millions of Christians and Jews. And it goes on and on. It's such a perfect description of, there's no other church or any kind of church that fits the description like the Vatican. Okay, but let's finish here. So these are Muslims. And these are ones that wanted to kill you, and our church is winning them hand over fist. And so you should, you know, if we had some more, if we had more finances, more money would come in here, we'd be able to evangelize the whole world and win all the 144,000 Jews and these Muslims. And, maybe your throat won't be slit by them. Okay? Then what?
Meanwhile, a friend told me about your program on Radio Africa. By not quite long, I and my family decided to join your radio ministry, where we are taught so many things about salvation through Christ Jesus. Beloved, I and my family want to know more about Christ and to work for Christ. We will study the Bible with you in your program, which will enable us to grow in Christ Jesus. Please do not relent in praying for us, as we too are praying for you here in Nigeria every day. I, my wives, and my children
are... Isn't that something Muslims, former Muslims, praying for us? They don't want to kill us anymore. They want to pray for us. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, if you have enemies, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. Bless them. Amen?
Amen.
Bless them with a prayer. And also rebuke them. That's a blessing. Psalmist David said it's a kindness to them if somebody smites them with the truth. Okay? So just be good brothers and sisters and pray for your enemies, because God can save them just like he does here at our church. All over the world, Muslims are being saved. Then what else?
I, my wives, and my children are 13 in number. We will continue to listen
Wait
to
Wait a minute, his what?
His wives and
wives,
his children.
Wives, plural?
Yeah.
Right, the Muslims do believe, because they know certain parts of the Bible. Any Christian that says that isn't approved or condemned, you could never win a Muslim. Because they believe, because David, Solomon, hundreds of people, and God said, you know, to David, I gave you the wives of Saul, and I gave you the daughters of Saul, and the daughters of Judah and Israel. And if that weren't enough, if you would have asked me, I would have given you no more, because he had a big work, and he needed helpers. I'm sure he wasn't having sex with them, but they were considered wives. A wife, if you look in the dictionary, is an innkeeper, or a head of the house or something like that, a hotel manager. Okay, and then keep going.
We will continue to listen to your program on Radio Africa.
Praise the Lord.
May God bless you and your ministry. I hope to read from you soon. Remain blessed. Yours sincerely, Issachar from Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, and we've got, I don't know how many batches of reports here from our, putting my literature in newspapers, so Chicago Tribune, Houston Chronicle, New York Daily News, all over the country, Little Rock, Arkansas, Texarkana, Arkansas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Orange County, Register, San Diego, Los Angeles, we're all over the country with these, all over the world with the radio broadcasts, and all over the country with my articles that I've written in the newspapers. Okay, so what else do you have, Sharon?
A response came in from Houston, Texas. Okay. A lady called. She said she read your literature from the Houston Chronicle, Dry Bones.
Mm-hmm.
She was moved to tears and wanted to say the sinner's prayer. So I said the prayer with her. This is the phone answerer. She was ever so thankful for your article. She requested message CDs from you and the Messiah book, also your testimony.
Praise the Lord. And we've got, I don't know how many other testimonies from Buster. Do you have some there?
Yes. My sister is the head of the counseling services for the state of Oklahoma, an associate in Oklahoma state government that is on the board that determines funding for her department. Received salvation after being drawn to the Lord by the Dry Bones literature in the Oklahoman newspaper. The man is a Jew. He now attends a non-denominational church in Oklahoma City.
Okay, time's up. Well, I want to leave you with the song. I'm so happy that you're saved, that you asked the Lord into your heart. I'm going to be playing more messages soon. Swing down to your chair with the Stamps Quartet.
Don't you swing down to a chair and stop and let me ride. Swing down chair and stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bow my ears, you will. I got a home on the other side. Don't you swing down to a chair and stop and let me ride. Swing down chair and stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bow my ears, you will. I got a home on the other side. Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel.
Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot stop, and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot stop, and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Let me ride. Swing down, chariot stop.